Okay, when Ayin Zayin Amid Aleph, midway through the page. Okay? The Gemara is discussing a Cholol that marries a Bas Yisrael so the kids are possible. But a Cholol that marries a Yisrael so then the kids are not possible. Right? That whole discussion. And Rav Dostoy Ben Yehuda, the last thing we learned, he holds either way, whether it's a Cholol marrying a Yisrael or a Cholol marrying, it doesn't matter, the kid's always good. Okay, turn the Rabban and learnt. No, guys, let's go. Middle of the page, it says Tan Rabbanan.
Ezuhi Chalala.
Huh?
Ezuhi Chalala.
No, Lo Yichalo Zari Ba'amav. It's exactly like the middle of the page. Okay? Now, we learned before, okay, just very simple. The Gemara here is not hard. If a Kohen marries a woman that a Kohen would not be allowed to marry, correct? That woman, and they have a kid, correct? That kid becomes a Cholol, or Cholola, right? Now, the Gemara is asking, and we just started this Gemara last time. Now, how about the woman herself? So right away the Mefarshim ask, okay.
I think the woman herself. She's not a Kohen.
We learned this, no?
I know, but we're in the middle of it. We just started, so I have to go back these few lines. If a Kohen marries a Gerusha, the kids are a Cholol, correct? Now, what about the woman herself?
What about
her? Can she eat Truma? She's a wife of a Kohen. Can she eat Truma? Or if a Kohen Gadol, we said a second case. A Kohen Gadol marries a widow, which he's not allowed to. And then the Kohen Gadol dies. Can this Almana, she was a widow before, and a Kohen Gadol can't marry, but he did. Right? Can she marry a Kohen now?
No, she's a Halala.
That's the question. In the Chumash, it doesn't say that. In the Chumash, it says her kids are Chololim. So the question, how about the woman herself? If a Kohen marries a divorcee, the wife of a Kohen normally is allowed to eat Truma, correct? Even if she's not a Bas Kohen. The wife of a Kohen could eat Truma. So now, if a Kohen marries a Gerusha, it's his wife. The Gerushin is Taifis. They need a get, because it's only a lav, right? So therefore, if a Kohen marries a divorcee, by hook or by crook, she's still married to the Kohen because she needs a get if she wants to get out of it.
But if a Kohen divorces his wife, what happens to that wife? She can still eat?
No, once she's divorced, she's not a wife anymore.
So it's the same thing?
No, but here the Kohen's still married to her.
But he's supposed to get a divorce.
But he didn't. Now can she eat Truma? So it says, Tan Rabban learned like this. La Yichalo Zari, the Torah says when a Kohen marries the people he shouldn't be marrying, that shouldn't cause that the children should become Cholol. So the question is, Ein Liyala Zari, I only know the kids are Cholol. He Atzma Minayin. What's the case with the woman herself? Okay? Now, Amarta Kavachaymer, it's a Kavachaymer. If the kids are no good, she for sure is no good. Right? The kids didn't do an Aveda. Right? Kohen marries a divorcee, they have kids. The kids did something wrong here. They didn't do anything wrong. Yet, Mischalo, they're not kosher to be Kohenim. He shaved Aveda. She that did an Aveda, because she's not allowed to marry the Kohen either. In other words, not only the Kohen getting the sin, she also gets a sin for marrying a Kohen because she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. She's a Gerusha.
Maybe she didn't know.
She for sure should become that it's no good. Okay?
What? Why we don't use the Kalon Chomer from the husband to the wife? The whole point that she's allowed to eat Teruma is because of the husband. So if the husband, because she married Chalor, she cannot, how much more?
1 second.
No?
1 minute. So the Gemara says, Hu Atzma Yechiach. The answer to this is in the Kohen himself. Because who sha'aved aveda? the Einim is Chal, the Kohen doesn't become blemished by it. Meaning like this. A Kohen who marries a Gerusha, he cannot work in the Beis HaMikdash because he's sinning. Can't dochen, he can't get an Aliyah Kohen because he married somebody he's not allowed to marry. He's married a divorced. What happens if the lady's out of the picture, he divorces her? So the din is, like he says over here, if a Kohen makes a vow that he will not derive any benefit from her, and he makes a vow that he will never marry such a woman again, he can go back to work in the Beis HaMikdash, even though he did an Aveda. So, and the kids can never. The kid who's a Cholol, even if the father divorced the Grusha, or the Grusha died, the kids remain Cholol forever. Right? So the question, what about the woman? So they said, well, listen, the kids didn't do an Aveda and they're forbidden, so the woman that did an Aveda for sure is forbidden. But it's not true, because the Kohen did an Aveda and he could become permissible. Mm-hmm. He could become again permissible if he makes a vow that he'll never do it again.
So what?
Huh? Yeah. So therefore maybe she's kosher too.
But if she was never Kohen to start with.
So?
If we say she didn't do an Aveda, so man not be a she goes back to the status she was before.
1 minute. Let's see this. So my answer is no. There's a difference between him and her. She's worse than him. Why? A Kohen doesn't become forbidden always. For instance, if a Kohen did not marry a divorcee, but he lived with her, he doesn't become usur. But a woman who lived with somebody, even once, that she couldn't marry, she becomes forbidden forever. For instance, a woman that lived with a guy, once, not married, just had relations with a guy once, she's also l'kayin forever. A kayin that lived with a, not married, that lived with a shiksa or a grusha, he's not also l'kuna. So she's worse than him. Right. So he says, "Tamer behi," but look at her. She mischalalut b'chol makim. She becomes, as soon as she lived once with somebody, she's already no good. So he says like this. So now we reinstated the kal v'chaymer. What's the kal v'chaymer? That what if the kids are not kosher, and even though they didn't do an aveda, so the woman that did an aveda with the kohen, for sure should she become awesome. So Gemara says, "Dim nafsha chaymer." If you want, you could say something else. Amar Kradatayda says, "Lo yichalol zari." Says, "Lo yichulel." Now, normally in Hebrew, chol is with one lamed, right? Yichalel is a double expression. That means. That refers to even one who was fit and then became possible. That means at one time this woman could have been kosher l'kohen before she did something wrong. So therefore, what does it mean, yichalo, the double expression? The Gemara says we can learn not only from a kal v'chomer, we can learn from the pasuk itself that the woman who lived with a kohen is not kosher l'kohen anymore. Because the Torah says, yichalel, double lamids, not only are the kids no good, she's no good for a kohen.
If he says with one lamid, we wouldn't learn this?
No, because then it would just teach us that you mechalel the kids. How do you know you're mechalel? But the extra lamid teaches not only the kids, but the mother herself also be. So first the Gemara learns it out for kal v'chomer. The Gemara says, I'll tell you the truth, you don't even need a kal v'chomer. We can see it clearly from the pasuk. The Torah says, the Torah could have said, lo yichal zarei. Like it said, lo yachal devarei. Could have said, lo yachal zarei. And that would mean the kids become not kosher l'kohen. What do you mean, lichalel? Teach us not only the kids, but even the woman herself also becomes.
That's the whole expression about when the child becomes unfit.
No.
Halal. I mean, that's the whole word is halal.
No, but technically the word could have been chol. Yichalo could have been written lo yachel. The word chol is profane, yeah? What does it mean lo yachel divided by nudorim? Right? Lo yachel divided, chol yetzim yipiv yasa. Lo yachel divided means don't profane your words. That's what profane means. So why does it say yichalel with two lamids?
Because this goes on a human being, that you are identifying a human being as
but
a
again,
halal.
But again, the Torah could have said Yachel. You could have said he's a chol. The fact that the Torah calls him a cholol with two lamids means not only is the kid possible because they're an offshoot of a kohen with a grusha, but the woman herself is usher.
It's just like Levi. Levi is a name. You know, we are not saying that it's accompanying, you know.
Do you know tefillin? You know what it says in Shulchan Aruch? When you make the bracha laniach tefillin, the lamed has a dogish.
Yeah, it means double though.
Because really the word is tefillin.
Yeah.
Palel. It should be tefillin. So the one lamed with a dogish, so le, when you emphasize the lamed, it's like two lameds. Mm-hmm. But you have that a lot of times. Huh?
Yeah, we say in Persian we have it also.
Leichalo zarei, the Torah could have said leichal, like it said leichal devarei. The fact that so the Gemara says ma'im nafshach lamed. So why the Gemara says, okay, we have a kavachimer. If you want, we can see why. Like, what's the problem with the kavachimer? So he said chi teimeikal lamirfrach. You can refute the kavachimer because ma'al zarei, the kids yitzirasi ba'aveda, they were formed by a sin. The woman wasn't born sinful, a sin. The kids were born a sin. Because they were already, from conception, they were a cholol already.
She also was.
No.
From the beginning.
When she lived, when she was born, she wasn't. She lived with somebody else. She lived with a kohen.
As soon as she married him.
Yeah, but she wasn't born like that.
Okay.
She says, the kids, from the beginning of their life, apostle. She's not from the beginning of her life. So I would think maybe you could refute the Kavachemi that she shouldn't become posel, only the kids. So we learn that's why he says lo yichal, here the Gemara is saying it different. Lo yichulal, meaning it refers to somebody who was kosher one time, meaning this woman before she was married the Kohen, and now she became not good. So therefore the bottom line is, like we all understood anyway, that not only if a kohen lives with a grusha, not only are the kids no good, but she's also no good. I mean, from now on, she's pasul l'kohanim. She can't eat truma, she can't...
Because of the act that she...
Because that she lived with the kohen in sin.
And not because of
but it's interesting. The kohen himself has a way out, but nobody else has a way out.
He started
all the trouble. No, the kids are no good forever. The woman is no good looking forever. If the Kayan makes a vow after he dumps his wife, he makes a vow, he's never going to do it.
But before that, he's also prevented from having the trauma, right? Or no?
Yeah, as long as he was married to her.
As long as he's married, yep. During that time, they won't give him he cannot have the trauma. And if he does... If it has the truma, then it's an avera, right?
He's not allowed to eat it. It's chayiv misa. Because the Yisrael Azar that eats truma, it's chayiv misa. I thought I had this, I remember if I mentioned last week. A week or so ago, this kohen became bal tshuva. He was married, I remember, it was to a goy or a grush. I think he was married to a goy. And he dumped her. And he wanted to go back as a kohen again. Because the guy wasn't giving him aliyah or kain, he didn't let him duchen. Now he's so the kashala. Is there any way he can get back? So he told him if he makes a vow in the presence of his rabbi that he'll never do such an aveda again. you know, not because he doesn't like shiksas, because he's a kohen and he's making a vow that he's never going to have anything to do with this thing. Then he can go back to be go back to duchen, go back to getting aliyahs as a kohen.
The rabbis weren't giving him.
By the way, a kohen who married a grusha, a kohen married a grusha, he gets a regular yisrael aliyah. A kohen marries a giyadis. All the people that a kohen is not allowed to marry. Yeah? He can get a regular aliyah, but he can't get kohen. And one second. And the interest, there's another interesting thing. What happens if a kohen married a doubtful giyadis? Or a doubtful grusha?
You mean conservative?
Because we don't know. Was the get good? Was the marriage good? It's a whole doubt. So then you can't give him kohen. Because maybe she is a divorcee.
You can't give him Yisrael.
You can't give him Yisrael because maybe she's not a
he's not an Yisrael.
So the only aliyah you can get is Mafter. No, if he's not Levi. Or if you're not Chabad and you had aliyahs, you can get the last aliyah.
If he married
Mafter, you can get.
We have to go to Sephardim and
Musaf,
they give extra.
Yeah.
Now, Rishvada, Kadashkanazah, she also add aliyahs.
Oh, yeah.
But when they add aliyahs, the last aliyah before Mafter, let's say they have five aliyahs over the seven. So the last aliyah, wow, the 12th aliyah before Maftah, the one might be a kohen or a Levi.
Is it the same if he goes to cemetery, the kohen? If everybody sees all the time he goes to cemetery.
Then he can't get an aliyah as a kohen.
The same thing, yeah.
Right.
But if it's a marriage to a woman that wasn't properly converted, so that's really not a marriage, and she's not even a giyoret. So in that
case, he's shiks anyway, okay? Yeah. But that's a zayna.
So in that case, he's also not allowed to have him earlier.
It's halal. Yeah.
So if he's married to he's not married. It's not even considered a marriage.
No.
In that case.
But then it would be forbidden.
It's still forbidden.
Yeah. So he's called a halal?
No, but the kohen chol usually represents the kids.
The kids and the woman.
Right. Oh, chalol is female, chalol is male.
The kids are not.
The kohen is not called a chalol. He's
disqualified. What do you call disqualified?
Disqualified kohen, I guess.
There is no word for it in Hebrew.
I mean, he becomes mechulol, but you don't call him a chalol.
So yes, somebody comes to shul. You don't know. You don't ask him. You married to a boy.
No.
He says I'm a kohen. If you don't know,
you can assume that he's not. A Jew has a cheskes kashus.
Mostly illiterate kohen and go to cemeteries.
Yeah, by Persian, unfortunately.
There was a guy that wanted to marry a grusha. So he got a heter. He doesn't live here in the city anymore. He got a heter that he's not a kohen, but he still wanted to get kohen aliyahs. He wanted status of kohen to get a kohen, but status of a non-kohen to marry the giyadis, or I think it was a giyadis, or a grusha. Like,
double identity.
Yeah, wanted the cake and eat it too, but that you can't do. That's for sure no good.
What do you mean? He got a heter that he's not a kohen?
He got a heter that he's not a kohen, therefore he can marry this member.
How can he get a heter that you are, either you are a kohen or you're not?
No, because it's not the pshat. Maybe they checked into the lineage and he found out that his father married or grandfather married a woman that he was meant to be allowed to marry.
When you say the kid, is it boy and a girl or only a boy?
No, both. Chalo
and chalola. To me, if she marries a kohen, she cannot have truma.
If a kohen marries a grusha and has a daughter,
yeah,
she's a chalola.
I know. But
she cannot eat truma. She cannot marry a kohen.
She cannot.
She can't. She cannot marry him. No.
She can marry a Jew, and the children then can marry.
That will be kosher, yeah.
In general, Gilead, if you fix the source, everything becomes fine. But if the Kohen said, I'm okay, and makes a vow, there's still the wife and kids. In general, it's a rule.
No, because they became
because
before.
They were before.
You cannot fix it.
The kids that he'll have after this.
Oh, they will be okay.
Let's see, he lived with married a grusha, right? Then he makes a vow.
Okay.
He dumps her, then makes a vow. And then he marries a kosher woman. Okay. So the new kids are going to be kosher lakuna. And Kohen. But those kids exist already.
Can't fix something.
It's like also with Kohenim. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. After he killed Zimri, Hashem made him a Kohen. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So Rashi asks, one minute. He was the son of Elazar. Why wasn't he a kohen?
Because he was a cousin.
No. I mean, he had cousins.
Pinchas
was Elazar's son.
Yeah.
If Elazar was a kohen, why wasn't he a kohen?
He was appointed by
because
his son.
No, because... So Rashi says, in the Medrash, the Gemara, when Hashem made Aaron and the four sons kohanim,
stop there.
He said, any child from here on is going to be good. Pinchas was already born. So Pinchas wasn't given the kohen status. Because kohen, this is what I'm saying, like from here onward, when Hashem made Aaron and his Aaron Ubanov, the four, before the Nadav and Avihu story, he had the four kids. So they became kohanim, that any kid they have from now on is a kohen. Pinchas was already born. He was the only one that was born.
It was a lady.
Yeah, until he killed Zimri. Yeah, Pinchas had a status of a Levi.
So, but
when he killed Zimri, Hashem said, now I'm making you kohen.
But they were, Kohanim and Levim were the same anyway.
What are you talking about? Aaron's four kids worked in the Mishkan?
Hello? Four boys.
I thought only the Levi.
The Aaron gang.
Aaron became, Aaron was a Levi.
And then Hashem made him kohanim.
During Mashiach time, Levim would become Kohanim.
Yeah. Yeah, got it? Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tan Rabban Rabbanan Lot. Ezihi Chalala. What is a Chalala? Okay, what's the definition of a Chalala? The Braisa says, Kol Shenodom in Apsulim. Any girl born from unfit ones. But we don't know what that means yet. The Gemara says, My Psulim. What do you mean Psulim? If you're saying the Braisa means unfit to marry anyone, anyone, even a Yisrael, it's not true. A woman, a man divorces his wife. There's a pasuk in Chumash. If a guy marries a woman, divorces her, she marries another man, and the second man dies and divorces her, she cannot marry the first husband anymore. Correct?
Right.
Okay. So it says, Arimach se grusha, so if a guy remarried his grusha after she married somebody else, the psulula, she's unfit for him, he's not allowed to, the first husband cannot marry her, yet, ubanel kshedim. Her kids are kosher to marry a kohen. That means, if a guy was mach se grusha, and they had a kid,
even though he wasn't allowed to,
even though he wasn't allowed to, but they had a kid, those kids are kosher l'kohuna.
They're regular Israeli.
Yeah. Now, providing, like he says, that the husband wasn't the kohen. Because if the husband divorced his wife was a kohen and remarried her, then the kids are chalal. Correct? Or chalala. But if a Yisrael marries a woman, divorces her, she marries somebody else, the second husband dies and divorces her, she's not allowed to remarry back the first husband. What happens if he did, when they have a kid, that woman is kosher l'kohuna. Right? Why? Because it says, Toyevahi, the Torah speaks about this, the Torah says, after the wife was divorced from the second husband, you can't take her back, because Toyevahi, she is an abomination. The Torah doesn't say it's an abomination. The Torah says she is an abomination, which means the kids aren't. So the Gemara says, you're telling me a halal is somebody born to somebody who's possible. The machzor grushasi is possible to marry the husband, and yet the kid is kosher. So how can you define a halal as somebody that's possible to the man, to the man she married? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda hazchi kamar. You're right. It doesn't mean any psul. Ezi chalala kol shenolda mipsul kohuna. Any girl who was born from a relation of a kohen and somebody else that he would not be allowed to marry. Meaning, if a kohen marries a zayna, what does it say? Isha zayna v'chalala grusha, right? All these women, if a kohen lives with them, the child is a chalal or chalala.
Any Grusha?
What do you mean any Grusha? Even his own. A Kohen who divorces his wife cannot even remarry his own wife. Even if she didn't marry anybody else. A Yisrael could. A Levi could. A Kohen can't even marry his own divorcee. Because she's divorced. He's marrying a divorced woman.
But if they do, they don't have to...
The kids are halala. Oh yeah.
They have to
divorce. If a Kohen married a woman, yeah, divorced her, remarried her, and has a kid, that kid's a halal or halala.
And he can't become a Kohen.
And he loses his Kohen status.
What's the instance where if they did it, then you don't have them divorce? If they didn't know that...
No, Kohen, that's in two cases. If a Kohen marries a girl whose father is a Goy, so the Chatchil is not allowed to, but if they did, they don't have to divorce. Or if a Kohen married the daughter of a Ger and a Giyaris, remember we learned before in the Gemara, Ger and Giyaris to do three opinions. Okay? So if a Kohen marries a daughter of a Ger and a Giyaris, even though the Chatchil was not allowed to marry her, but if they're married, they don't have to divorce. Huh? And the kids are kosher kids.
So in the case where the Kohen remarried and the wife had the originally divorced, and they have a kid, the kid's halala, and they have to divorce.
Sure. Because that's biblically forbidden. The chiddush is that they're still considered married, that she needs a get. Right? If a guy does an atma kadeshasi with a sister, or with a married woman, or whatever, or a relative, that then it's not a good kedushin.
What makes it happen?
What makes what happen?
I mean, that make a kedushin tofes and one doesn't. I mean,
if it's chiyav lav according to everybody about the Rabbi Kiva, remember we learned before in the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva says kedushin and kedushin teichin even b'chayv lavin. But the halacha is not like Rabbi Kiva. But if it's only a lav, not capital punishment. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, there's no capital punishment. Mm-hmm. It's not that the adulterous relation or incestuous relation that the punishment discourages. Mm-hmm. Right? But if a Kohen marries a Grusha, it's a lav, and he has to divorce her, but it's not capital punishment.
So by Arayot, it's the one that it's not tofes.
Right.
He has to divorce a Gerusha?
A Kohen? Yeah.
And if not?
If not, he's living in sin. What do you mean?
He's not upon Beit Din or something to do that. If he comes, then they would do it for him, right?
What should Beit Din do? No, shoot him?
No. So it's not like upon Beit Din.
There are cases that a guy was a Kohen. I mean, there are known cases. A guy was a Kohen. They weren't from. He made a divorcee. And they were both not from. And then they became from.
Then what happened?
So there are times, it's a very big nisayon, if they have a good marriage, obviously. So sometimes there were cases they got divorced. And sometimes they just didn't. And they're living together. They know they're doing wrong. They're from and everything else. But so that Kohen cannot get the Kohen Aliyah cannot duchen.
Israel is if he divorces his wife, can he remarry again?
It's a mitzvah to it, says.
Yeah? His wife that divorced to remarry.
As long as she didn't marry somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a mitzvah?
It's proper. Wow. I know a bunch of cases of Machzik Grushos.
They come back?
Sometimes they end up divorcing again, but... No, I know a few cases.
How full could it be?
Huh?
Twice.
No.
The cases in the shul here, the cases in different places, yeah. Guys, machzik rishos, eh? So a lot of times, when there's kids involved, so then they do it, whatever, the yes, it could happen. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. What is a chalala? Rabbi Yehuda answered, somebody was born from a psul kuhuna. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Only if they're born? We just got through saying the woman herself is a chalala. The Gemara says, what is a chalala? One who is born from a relationship between a kohen and a woman he can't marry. So Gemara says, but the woman herself is also a chalala, Mrs. Kohen. No, the in, no, the lie. You tell me, are they aman of a grusha zaina, widow, divorce your zaina? The lie that was not born from such a union, yet, we could have a chalala, she becomes a chalala if she lived with a kohen. Rabbi said like this. Hachikam, this is what we mean. This is what the Braisa means. Eila chalala muzkeres. What is a mention chalala? The Gemara is going to explain what that means. Shalahoyala shasa kosheka. That was never a kosher person for a kohen. Kosheneidum in a psul kuna. Because a woman that married a kohen herself, right, before she married a kohen, she was kosher. She was a kosher woman at one time. So the Braisa is explained according to Rabba, it means like this. Where do we have a case of a woman who was born a chalala and always was a chalala? That is a woman who was born between a kohen and a woman he's not allowed to marry. Granted, if a kohen lives with a grusha, she's also a chalala. She's also a chalala. But she wasn't born a chalala. At one time she was a kosher woman. Later on in life she became a chalala.
In society, does that still work?
What?
Chalalas. Does that still go?
Chalalas?
Is it still
sure.
It is?
Sure.
Yeah, but if you ask the kids these questions.
Question, how far do you have to go? That's the question.
So the real chalala is the daughter, not the wife.
Both.
Both.
One minute. So the Gemara says, my muskers, what do you mean a mention chalala? So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Rabin like this. Hachi Kama, this is what it means. Ezi chalala, which chalala is ikra medivrei teira, which is clearly biblical, clearly in the Chumash. That you don't even need to explain a kavol chaymer or whatever we learned before. Kol shenoldim in psulukunim. So basically he says like this. The Gemara is just playing with the language. The Gemara says, bottom line, what's a chalala? Somebody who was born, that means it was always a chalala. Biblically, minatayra, somebody that was born from a unity between a kohen and somebody he's not allowed to marry.
But the wife is not biblically a chalala?
Correct. It is. We learn it out from the Chumash. But it's not clear in the Chumash.
Original chalala is yeah.
So what's the problem of the kid being a chalala?
What's the problem?
Yeah. So she can
can't get married to a kohen.
You can't marry a kohen, right? No problem. She has to know that she can't marry a chalo, a kohen, and she can't eat truma. Right. But there's no blemish. In other words, there's nothing wrong with Yisrael marrying her.
Right.
There's no blemish in her.
It's not like a spiritual...
No. I mean, I don't know if you go into the... in halacha, there's not a blemish, nothing wrong.
If the Talmid Chacham wants to marry her, he's not bringing the madrig all over.
Why?
No, because we learned something last week about no such a thing.
No problem with it. Okay, Tan Rabban Rabban Alert. Almana Aman. We don't know yet what this means. But just listen. Almana Amana Amana. If a kohen lived with a widow, widow, and a widow, he only gets malchus once, huh?
Kohen Gadol says
here. Mm-hmm. No.
What page are you on?
77A5.
Okay.
Tadraban, Aman, Aman, Aman.
Kohen Gadol.
In the English it says
a
Kohen Gadol.
It's a widow and a widow.
Oh, right. There has to be a Kohen Gadol because a regular Kohen can marry him. Okay? It says like this. If a Kohen Gadol, obviously, it's right. You're right. Aman has to be a Kohen Gadol. If a kohen gadol, we don't know what amana, amana, amana means, but it says like this. If a kohen gadol live with a widow, 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 he gets one lashes. Grusha, 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 ein chayv alachas. Okay? So he lived with a grusha, 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 again, we don't know what it means. One lav. What happens if a Kohen Gadol lived with Almana, Grusha, and Chalala Zayna? A Kohen Gadol lived with all these people. So it says, Bizmanshin Kisidram, if she was first widowed, then divorced, then became a Chalala, then a Zayna, Chayev al Kol Achas V'Achas, he gets four Malkas.
He got married to them or just?
Huh?
He's all the same person?
We don't know. We don't know. We don't know.
We don't know if he's married or not. He just lived with them?
Yeah. Zinsa v'nizchala v'nizgasha v'nizarmala. What happened if he went backwards the opposite way? Ein achayv alachas. Then he's only chayv once. So if he lived with in order, first she was almana, then grusha, then zaylan chalala, he's going to have four times malchus. If it went backwards, she was a Zayna, and then Chalala, and then Geirishin, and then Almona, he's only Chayv one. We don't know what this means. And trust me, Tumar is going to explain very simply what it means. Omar Mawi said, Almona, 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 ain't a Chayv alachas. So he said like this, Hay Almona hechidami. What does this mean? Tumar thought it was three different widows. Reuven's widow, Shimon's widow, and Levi's widow. So then the Mishnah says, you only chayiv once. So the Gemara says, woman, Ilei Meshava Almanas Ruvain, and then Almanas Shimon, Val Almanas Levi, right? Amayin Echayiv Alachas, why is he chayiv once? Harigufa Mocholakim, three separate women, he should be chayiv three Malkas. Right? If Almana 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 means, a Kohen Gadol, live with Mrs. Ruvain widow, Mrs. Shimon widow, Mrs. Levi widow, so it's three different people, three different Avedas. Why is he getting only one Malkus? He should be getting three times Malkus. Ela Shaba Alamona Achas Sholosh Bias. He means, this is what the Gemara thinks now. He had three times relations with the same widow. So, Almona, 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 according to this means, he was three times with the same widow. So the Gemara says like this. Again, Hey Chidami, what's the case? Idolei Asru Bey. Did they warn him in between each time? Pshita de nechayev alachas. If they didn't warn him, only at the beginning. Right? So of course it's only one Aveda, because it was one warning. Every Aveda needs a separate warning.
Of course there's no Kedushin involved here, right?
He's living with him. Elo de Asru Bey akol chada v'chada. So we must say they warned him for each one of the three. So amayin nechayev alachas. Then why is he chayev one? He should be chayev three, if there were three warnings. And where do we see the Vat? Now we learned in the Mishnah, Nazir Shoyeshay Sayayin Kolayim, a Nazir who's not allowed to drink wine, yeah? If a Nazir was drinking wine a whole day, Ein Echayv Alachas is one Aveda.
He needs warning too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He needs warning?
Yeah, but what happens if he had one warning at the beginning of the morning and he kept drinking a whole day? Okay. He's only Chayv once. What happened? Al Tishta. What happened in the middle of the day? He said, no, don't drink. They warned him a few times in the middle of the day. V'hushay said, and he still keeps drinking. Chayev kol achas v'achas. He's chayev for each one.
Each one of the hasra.
Yeah, if he drank five warnings, and he's chayev five malchus. So why is Amana different? The Gemara said, okay, he lived with Amana three times. So Gemara says, if he wasn't warned, then of course it's only chayev once. If he was warned each time, then he should be chayiv three times. Why is Mishnah say one? So Gemara says like this. He's also a doozer. Shabo al amonis ruvein. There's one woman that was widowed three times. She was Ruvain's widow, Shimon's widow, and Levi's widow. Poor girl. And a Kohen Gadol lived with her.
Okay.
So then there's only one lav. One time Malkus. Why? The same body.
Even though it's
hatra
between each one of them?
No, but...
No.
So Ma'ud, I would think. Shari Shem is Mukhlokim. It's three titles, because once she was Almanis Reuven, Almanis Shimon, Almanis Kamash, Malam Guf, and Mukhlokim Binyan. In order to have a separate sin, you need different bodies. The Lekan, you don't have it.
This is hypothetical, right? The Kohen Gadol...
It doesn't matter, Rabbi.
What?
You don't need goof in the Kulakim. Could be one goof, but if it had throw each time, it would be three months. Malchut.
In the Roman times.
That's what the Gemara is saying over here. There was one hasra.
No,
there's
a chiddush.
No, the Gemara said if there was one asra, of course there's only one lav, one malchus.
Okay.
Like by Nazir and.
Yes.
So I said, but here's a chiddush, because Lepel she was widowed three times.
Oh, you might think.
So I would think the one asra is going to give him three malchus because she was three times widowed from different men.
With the same hasra? There was one hasra.
You can't live with a widow.
Okay. Oh, then she did three times.
It's three times with the guy. So then the din is, it's only one malchus.
Since when one hasra is good for three cases? It has to be for each case of a widow.
That's why he only gets one malchus.
Oh, okay.
The Gemara's question at the beginning was, if there was only one hasra, shita, for sure it's only one malchus. Like by everything it's one malchus, right? The answer is over here. I would think it's different because the woman is not three women. No. Three women for sure would get three malchus, but here's one woman. But I would think because she has three different names: Almanas Reuven, Almanas Shimon, Almanas. So I would think maybe it's three different three. So the chiddush is no, it's only one. So the Gemara's bottom line is Almana, Almana, Almana. And again, then Grusha, Grusha, Grusha would be the same thing, by the way. She was divorced from Reuven, divorced from Shimon, and divorced from Levi. And this guy lived with her. Right? The Kohen. So there is also one lav, one Malchus.
Regular Kohen, not Kohen.
Yeah, Grusha is a regular Kohen. Okay. Leave it here.
So we have